Inside the Film Pod.
Alrighty, thanks for joining us inside the Film Pod. I'm Adam Filmy Film, and with me is Edgar, the fish with boobies, Taco Ram. Edgar, how you doing?
I'm doing alright. Fuck you. just fuck you.
You see, you didn't see that one coming.
I actually did. I read that one.
Oh, you read that one? Why didn't you say it? That was the most obvious quote I would ever use.
Just because it was...
Anyway, so that's Edgar Taco Ram. I surprised him so he didn't have a quote today. So, obviously, the movie we're doing, actually, it's not obvious, is because it's spring break. We're just like, you know, we do so much drama. It's like, you know, screw it. We'll do just a completely off the wall, not serious movie, not so good movie either.
We'll discuss that
as we get into spring break movie, Piranha 3D. Or just Piranha. It's actually technically it's called Piranha, but most people will know it as Piranha 3D because we are doing the remake and not the original. And we have a bonus, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which technically isn't a spring break movie, but it's like I think it's in the summer. But it's a vacation-y. Yeah, it's a vacation-y kind of movie with bad shit happening. So yeah, that's what we have in store. But before we get to that, Edgar, what have you seen this week?
I actually cannot remember any films that I've seen within recent memory, but I saw a tweet of yours.
Yes, I was on fire this week. I actually saw two movies and a whole TV show. So, like, usually, you know, it's just I just watch a TV show for some reason, but I actually saw two movies and a TV show. So, but I can only speak about one movie because the first movie I saw was The Artist. And so, let me give you a little story behind that. It was like a day with the family, and my dad, he is hard of hearing. Like, he can hear you. He's not deaf, but, like, if there's background noise going and he can't, like, he needs to look at your face, then he can understand you fine. But if there is background noise, you know, that makes it too hard. And so, you know, we wanted to see a movie as a family, but, like, my dad has this problem where, you know, it's hard to understand. So I was like, well, The Artist is a silent movie. And so it turned out, you know, yeah. We went to this tiny little theater that was still playing it. And it was a nice little place. And so, yeah, we saw The Artist, and I can't talk about it because we're going to devote a whole episode to it. I will say... No, I won't say anything about it. I don't think I should. The other movie I saw was Iron Man 2, again. Just, I don't even know why. It was, again, with the family, and it was on Netflix, and we're just like, why not? And it was worse than I remembered. Have you seen Iron Man 2, Edgar?
Yeah, I actually saw it.
Yeah, Mickey Rourke is good in it, but, like, overall, I don't know. I like the first one more. And I actually saw the second one first and then went back later on and saw the first one.
I remember when I started talking to you about it, you used to tell me and you used to pitch that you liked this one considerably more than the other one. But as we've discussed in past podcasts or maybe even off the mic, I can't recall if we've actually recorded this conversation.
Yeah, I don't think we have. I mean,
just on how the story arc in the first one actually works considerably better than in the second one.
Yeah.
And it's just – the first one is just him being a playboy and he has nothing there. I mean,
I don't know,
guess...
That's how the second one is really. That's what I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying, the second one.
Oh, you said the first one.
Oh, well, excuse me. The second one is what I meant.
Yeah.
And the first one is more dramatic and it's more drawn.
It's him becoming Iron Man, while in the second one he's just dicking around as Iron Man.
It's just filler.
Yeah, I just wish it had more Mickey Rourke, more Sam Rockwell. Especially Mickey Rourke. He was actually pretty entertaining. You know, he's all, where is the bird? You'll lose. I think I've said that stuff before. Maybe on the blooper show, though. But, yeah, it wasn't as good. Didn't hold up as well.
And the TV show?
Oh, and the TV show. That is incredibly good. I recommend it. Must see. Go out of your way. Watch this show. It's only two seasons, and it's seven episodes a season. The show is called Spaced. And people will know that as, like, Simon Pegg's TV show. So, basically, like, the format of the show is... It's sort of like a sitcom, but it totally has that Simon Pegg feel. Like, if you watch any of the movies, the show is just like that. At first, I was like, eh. Like, it felt all low budget, but, like, the show really rises above its own, like, budget level. And, like, you really feel, like, that directing, like, style you get from the Simon Pegg movies. And so, basically, Simon Pegg and this one woman, I don't remember her I don't know the actress's name. She's named Daisy in the show. They both get broken up with their respective boyfriend and girlfriend. Actually, Daisy is with like a hobo, but I'm not going to go into that. But they both move out of where they lived, and they, you know, meet each other just by chance at like a cafe, and they become friends over time as they both are looking for flats because it's England, you know, not apartments, it's flats. And they end up finding a place where, like the advertisement said, like they had to be, you have to get to be a couple to rent out the place. So they pretend to be a couple so they can get that apartment. And hilarity ensues in very unexpected ways. It's really like parody-ish. I don't know the word. Like there's a lot of different movie throwbacks, movie parodies, like Matrix and Star Wars and all that stuff.
It's satirical.
Yeah, they even have One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Like, you really need to see this show. It's pretty great. Right. It's on Netflix. And, like, I did not... I watched it off of recommendation. Like, this one person in my philosophy class told me about it. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll check it out. And I was blown away by the show. And, like, it was so much... But I did not expect to be so engrossed in it. Like, I had to watch the whole first season that day. Technically, it was over 2 days because it was, like, at midnight. But whatever. I watched the whole first season right off the bat because I just ate it all up. It is so damn hilarious. And like, surprisingly enough, like Simon Pegg really isn't like the star, even though he's one of the two stars. The woman who plays Daisy, she is like the real star of the show. She is so damn funny. And yeah, if you like Simon Pegg, you will like this show. Like, I was so surprised at how well his style of comedy translated to TV, or vice versa, I guess, since the TV came first. But yeah, it really is really good and really funny. And like, I love it, just so like the style of editing. Like, most people won't catch this, but you know, I'm the form guy, and he's so good at telling comedy and getting comic timing through editing. Like, there's just certain cuts where it's so quick, and like there's this like really awesome rhythm to it. It kind of reminds me of Scrubs, actually. There's a lot of that like what if kind of thing, you know, or JD is like, oh, you know, what if my head was attached to my body? They have similar kind of stuff, but I actually like the show more than Scrubs.
Okay, well, if you like it more than Scrubs, then I'll probably like it, because I hate Scrubs.
Really?
Yeah. I just can't stand the characters. I can't stand the acting or the style itself.
Well, then you might not like the show that much. The characters are totally different in the style. Well, if you like the Simon Pegg movies, you will like the show.
Which reminds me, you reminded me of a film I watched this week, actually.
Oh, good.
Hot Fuzz.
Oh, nice. Perfect.
That was a perfect segue. And for those of you who don't know the film, it's Simon Pegg and Nick Frost in an Edgar Wright film, the second film of the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy, in which Simon Pegg is a very hard, very well-established...
Wait. Cop. I totally didn't even get that till just now, that there's ice cream in all of those. Anyway, just blew my mind. Sorry. I was just
it's called the Blood and Ice Cream.
Well, I never knew that, but now, like, when you said that, I just thought Shaun of the Dead. What's the other one?
Run, the Pat third Boy. One hasn't been released yet.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's the collaboration of these three.
Yeah.
And in this one, it's Simon Pegg, who plays a hard-earned official or officer who ends up being so well that he is actually transferred to a very small village, which there's almost a low crime rate. And is it,
or so it would seem.
Or so it would seem. And without getting into any spoilers, yeah, he starts to realize that there's unexpected or unexplained deaths. Mm-hmm. And the more he delves into it, the more he...
Deaths or murders?
Am I the one here who's giving the plot, or is it you?
It's you.
All right.
Well, anyway,
as he goes in, he becomes friends with another officer there who seems to be a bumbling idiot, Nick Frost's character, mm-hmm, and they end up resolving that. They end up just pursuing and discovering what is the actual cost of this, and attack in a very satirical way, I want to say.
Yeah. I love Hot Fuzz. Hot Fuzz is really good. I think I liked it more than Shaun of the Dead. Not that I didn't like... I mean, like, I liked it even more. You know,
which is funny, because everyone always says Shaun of the Dead is better. No. No, it's not. Shaun of the Dead is funny. It's great. It's not my favorite Simon Pegg movie. Neither is this one, actually.
Yeah, I actually like Spaced better than the movies. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's because of, like, I don't know. There's, like, this sort of ADD kind of thing to it. Because it's bite-sized since it's TV episodes. And I just want to say, I'm not trying to offend any ADD people. I'm just using it in our cultural way of, like, you know, having a hard time paying attention to things. Like, for some reason, this show is just so on and so fast. Like, it's all, like, the jokey parts from the movies, but, like, all strung into a show. And since, you know, it's a TV show, it's shorter. And, like, I don't know, it works really well. And it's just hilarious, yeah. I like the beginning of Shaun of the Dead a lot. Like, the part without the zombies where he's just kind of living. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I've seen it, but...
We'll have a Simon Pegg day, because he's, you know... He's
I have a movie
contemporary
that you haven't seen with him in it.
Run, Fat Boy, Run?
No.
Oh.
You haven't seen Run, Fat Boy, Run?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, I own that one, too. But I own another one, which is an indie film called Big Nothing with him in it.
Is he in it?
Yes, he
is. I mean, he's not starring, he's just in it?
Well, he's one of the three protagonists.
Give me the plot.
That's the thing, though. I want to leave it.
Well, I feel I've seen a movie with Simon Pegg starring, and it's like about like Hollywood or something, and he's like...
It has nothing to do with that.
Okay, then.
This one's a very, very dark comedy.
Okay.
And it's probably my favorite role with him in it because it's not him. He's not playing the same style of character.
Uh-huh.
Because in this one, he's an American and not a Brit.
That's weird.
Yeah, so I enjoy it because you have the hardest time realizing it's the same guy that you've seen against zombies and as a cop.
Mm-hmm. And Scotty. That's my favorite role. That to me is like, that is the nerd's dream. Like, obviously, you know, Simon Pegg's a big nerd. And like, that must be the coolest thing ever. Like, you get to actually be like someone from Star Trek, the original. You know, he gets to be Scotty. That is just like, that's the coolest thing ever. You're like, you're a fan of the show. And then like, boom, you get to be in like the awesome remake.
Well, I haven't seen that.
Oh, well, yeah. He's really good in that.
Well, I'll take it. For your word,
yeah.
But just going back on the whole Hot Fuzz topic,
mm-hmm.
The film is – I was watching it for the form this time because normally I watch it just for the comedy, and it had a lot of quick cuts and a lot of swift editing, which I was thinking about you the whole time. Like, he'd love this movie if he hasn't seen it.
Yeah, I have seen it, and I love it.
And the comedy is just – almost spot on perfect just for that factor. And without giving off too much more, without developing into the characters, because I want to get straight into this review because I feel we have a lot to talk about these two films. I say it's pretty much a theater, and the only reason I wouldn't give it a must-see is because I don't feel everyone would enjoy this film as much as I do, and some people would go more for the humor in Shaun mm-hmm. of the Dead. And that's just where I have the debate. I personally prefer this film far over Shaun of the Dead, but that's just me.
Yeah. I don't – not – for me, it's not a huge difference, but I do prefer Hot Fuzz more. There's just something about, like, the world Hot Fuzz takes place in that I find more interesting. And I don't want to go into that because that kind of gets into spoiler territory, but, like the way – like, the simplicity of that town and then, like, the way it turns out, I don't know. To me, it's just magic. It's just great.
We'll get into it on a different review,
yeah.
But for me, it'll just be a quick theater as for right now. And when we review it, I might change my score. It might remain the same. It really just depends on watching it a second or third.
Yeah. I just also want to say, speaking of, like, you said, like, Simon Pegg plays, like, a really different role in Big Nothing. Nick Frost, he's in Spaced, of course. And, like, in the beginning, he plays a really small role. And, like, later, as the show goes on, he gets a bigger and bigger role. Like, he's really different. Like, he's... I think he's a little bit skinnier, although it's, like, hard to tell. But, like, he plays, like, a weapons, like, enthusiast who, what, like, an ex-army guy, and then he joins the army later. Like, because, I don't know, he's got, like, the aviators and the mustache, and he's just, like, a total weapons guy. I just find that really funny because, like, you know, in a lot of his later stuff, Nick Frost is, like, this, you know, doofus kind of nerd guy. And in this one, he's, like, a tough... kind of, what do you call it, like, weapons crazy guy.
Well, yeah, even in Paul, though, but he's always has some sort of association with a gun. in Shaun of the Dead, for example, he does man a weapon, if I remember correctly, a shotgun of some sort.
Yeah.
In Paul, which is another one, he mans a katana. And in the only other film I've seen him in, Hot Fuzz, he mans a few weapons himself, and he does shoot. So it's still a little in there.
It's just like when you watch the movies and then you watch him in this, in the show, it's pretty different. It's still great, though. Yeah.
All right. Do we have any news?
No, not really. It's spring break. Didn't feel like going to the extra work. All I really got to say is Prometheus. Woohoo, Prometheus! You know, theatrical trailer's released. I saw it. Edgar, you don't want to see it, but I understand. Like, I need to get my Prometheus fix. And
you talk about it like it's heroin.
Well, for a sci-fi guy, it's like the trailer you see, it's looking to be like one of the greatest science fictions ever. Of course, that's overhype, and it will never live up to my expectations because of what I'm doing. But I don't know. I think I'm mature enough to understand and watch the movie with a fresh mind or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, and then the other trailer is Lockout. I know, Guy Pearce, what's with that? Lockout had, a new trailer. Or, no, it was like 5 minutes of it were released. So, that's really all I got. And okay, that's just stuff I happened to be paying attention to. I didn't prepare news, so.
Okay, just a quick mic to give my quick opinion on both of those subjects. Lockout looks like such a cheesy beef, like, and it's...
Yeah, totally.
I just don't know if I'll like it or not. I mean, I am a fan of beef flicks, especially because I love films that are so bad it's good.
Mm-hmm. It depends on how they do it. Like, it's really hard to tell from trailers because trailers do not reflect the directorial style. And like the 5 minutes I saw seemed pretty good. I actually didn't watch the full five because I didn't want to spoil it too much. I watched like 2 minutes of it, and it seemed good. It's really hard to tell though. Like, you need to, you know, depends on how they play it. Do they play it sort of like deadpan cheesy, or, you know, like straight serious, like, or, you know, how it works will really change. Like, it will it be like Escape from New York, which is like wonderful? That's what I'm hoping. That's what it feels like. Like, it's trying to kind of play towards that, which will be good. Or if it, you know, ends up just trying to be too serious and take itself seriously. It ends up becoming
Waterworld?
Yeah, exactly. That's actually a really good comparison. Like, if it ends up being like Waterworld, then it won't be so great. But if it's like Escape from New York,
it'll be a good cheesy flick.
Yeah. Or a Riddick movie. That's another thing, kind of like.
I doubt it'll be a good movie, especially because it seems to have such an overused plot.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's going to be like a good movie, but will it be like an enjoyable B movie, or will it be a not enjoyable B movie?
Well, and as for my other one, I'm purposely not viewing anything on Prometheus, not because I have anything against it, because I love the alien.
Yeah, to the opposite. Limiting yourself. Because you think it's going to be good, you don't want to really know much about it.
The thing is, I want to go in completely with a blank slate and just watch the movie and not have any expectations. I hear everyone saying, you know, it has some kind of connection to
Alien
and so on and so forth. But the thing is, I don't want to set myself up to be torn down. I want to go in not seeing very much. I've seen enough as it is going to the movies and seeing all those trailers. I just want to go in with that knowledge and that's it.
Yeah. I just want to say one thing, conspiracy talk time. I never thought about this. But remember like the TED talk I mentioned before with Guy Pearce doing this whole spiel on Prometheus, but it's not directly related to the movie per se. I never thought about it, but Ridley Scott, of course, you know, he did Alien and Blade Runner. And Blade Runner, you know, has replicants and stuff like that. And I realized Alien has the android guy also. And Alien 2, but that's James Cameron. But
don't spoil those two because we also...
But anyway, there's an android thing. So could they be connected? I don't know. Probably not, but...
I would hope not.
You never know. You never know. Like, there might be, you know, some kind of tie into that. Because there are talks for a Blade Runner sequel. Or not sequel, but another Blade Runner movie that takes place in the universe. Who knows, if sequel, prequel, or just different. Who knows? But we'll see how that plays out.
The thing is, I hope they don't do that because Philip K. Dick's work on its own should stand. And to make a sequel off of it, it makes me feel like it's basically labeling it just for the fact of it's Philip K. Dick as opposing to what the literary work is.
I don't know. I feel like first off, Ridley Scott never read Do Androids Dream of Electric Sleep? I really feel like Ridley Scott made Blade Runner his own work. It's sort of like loosely tied to Philip K. Dick's story, but I think it's sort of his own kind of thing.
Which it is, and I understand that.
I just try not to connect it to Philip K. Dick, and so go ahead and make a sequel as long as it's like Ridley Scott doing it right.
Well, they made a TV show.
Did they?
If I recall correctly, yeah, they made a very short-lived TV show.
Are you sure you're not confusing that with the William Shatner tech show, which was like it kind of had robots and stuff, and it was sort of similar to Blade Runner because it was also about like
no, it was a buddy cop stuff. Show, but it was taken in that universe. Well, I'm almost certain it might have been a different one, but I'm pretty sure it was that.
Oh, and, well, I gotta look that up then.
Or it might actually be Total Recall. I just remember going into Philip K. Dick and all the films that are based on his stuff. But it was on one of his novels they chose to make a series, a spin-off series, which was completely absurd in my opinion because it had nothing to do with the film. It was just in the universe aspect. But it didn't click. I forget which movie it was. It might have been that one or it might have been it was early 90s, so it must have been Screamers, maybe. But it was either Total Recall, Blade Runner, or Screamers, something along those lines.
Yeah. We should do like a Philip K. Dick day. Like a Scanner Darkly and a Total Recall.
No. We're doing some of the ones that are remembered. So Imposter, Screamers, Next.
Total Recall is remembered?
I said those that aren't being like...
Oh, aren't remembered.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So...
Oh, yeah. That's that for news. I don't really have anything else. Have you been paying attention to anything?
No, I haven't actually.
Yeah, you don't pay attention to the. I do the news.
You do the news. I do the casting.
Yeah, you get all the trivia, the little bitties, yeah. The ditties.
Anyways,
so I think it's time to. Which one do we want to do first? I think I want to do Prana,
since we have a feature name Prana for first. This. All right,
I want to do Prana first, then Texas Chainsaw. Because there's some stuff I want to say, like, after Piranha about Texas Chainsaw.
All right.
So, I don't have a synopsis either for Piranha 3D, not because I didn't prepare it or anything like that. It's just because Piranha, okay? There's piranhas attacking people at this spring break place. There's nothing else to it.
Give you a quick synopsis?
No, I just said it. There's,
well, give it more detail as opposed to just kind of... Okay. Diving into it.
Yeah, go ahead. Diving in, I see what you did there.
Well, it deals with a teenage boy who has to babysit his brother and sister during a spring break event where they're having a Girls Gone Wild style vacation area. Well, he takes a tour with with the porn artist played by Jerry O'Connell, in which they go across the lake and, surprise, piranhas come from a deep undersea cavern which start to chew and eat everyone else who's at the beach. Basically, it's Jaws, but in small fish.
And not at all like Jaws.
I don't see the difference. It's just it's Jaws and small fish. We'll get into it.
Well, no, it's pretty different. I mean, it's got the whole, beach setting, but it's not like Jaws. Because Jaws, you have a bunch of different things going for it. Like, there's the town and the mayor and everything, and, the shark, impedes on the tourism.
But the thing is,
and then you have the scientist and the old dude and the cop. While with Piranha, you have the dumbass kids, and you do have the cop lady, but she's the mom, and it plays a lesser role.
You also have a marine biologist.
That's true, yeah. But
okay, no,
he's also a lesser role. But you don't have the town and, I don't know.
There's no mayor, no. But the thing I'm saying is, pop culture-wise, Jaws is just a shark attacking its own little...
Yeah, and this one, it's piranhas. Lots of piranhas. And they're
hence
big.
Hence why I'm saying it's that concept. Pop culture describes that as... The movie itself is nothing like that. People remember Jaws 2 more than they remember Jaws 1. But that's a whole different conflict that we won't get into right now.
Yeah. On the DVD cover, it says, it's Jaws Gone Wild. I don't know what magazine or newspaper or person said that, but that was on the DVD thing. And I guess it is, because there's the whole synchronized naked swimming. One of the weirdest scenes
You give
ever.
Me your spiel, or let's just dive into this like right now because I have so much I want to say about this film.
I'll go first then. I did not like it. I was really disappointed. I thought, like, going in that this would be like a parody of it, like more so than like a genuine like attempt at the movie. Like, it, I don't know, I felt like the movie didn't know what it wanted to be. Like, there are some great points where it is genuinely funny, but there are other points where it's just really stupid and like not funny. It's like being serious, but it's so ridiculous. Like, I don't understand why it's serious. Like, everything with Christopher Lloyd is great. He knows how to play that like deadpan but joking, you know, kind of role where, like, you know, it's serious but it's not. Like, something about Christopher Lloyd's performance really does it well, and like, I really wish there was more of that. But Christopher Lloyd is like a bit part in this movie, and it's mainly about the dumbass kid, no name actor, who I didn't really like, and he wasn't very good at this, and like the mom cop wasn't very good either. And who I did like was, what was it, Jerry O'Connell?
Yeah,
he was pretty interesting, because he kind of did that like sort of serious but it's ridiculous kind of role, but after a while he gets kind of annoying. And the movie is like too much of like a Spring Break movie, you know? It's got the whole girls and the party scenes and all that, and yeah, just it just really doesn't have much.
Okay, well, just to kind of go off what you're saying, I felt, I've seen parts of this film before. I've actually seen most of it prior to our viewing here. So I didn't go in expecting anything spectacular. And I walked in, like, I sat down. I was like, I hope that this time it's better than the last time I watched it.
And?
It was a sci-fi film.
That's I was going to say that, but I was going to let you talk. Like, it really, it felt like a sci-fi original movie, but a little bit better. And it's with just, lots of boobs.
That's another thing. It was a lot of, it was just meant to have tits on screen at all times. And there were. There really were. And when it wasn't tits, you were
just, it was blood.
Yeah, it was blood. And I have to say, when I first sat in and I watched like the first 2 or 3 minutes, I'm like, this is perfect. This is my kind of movie. It's cheesy, cheap, dirty style special effects. It knows what it wants to do. I'm ready. Just, I'm ready to see some cheesy flick. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't that way. It was trying to take itself too seriously. Instead of trying to be the cheesy B flick it wanted to be, it added more and more and more layers of stupid drama over saturating itself in pure crap.
Yeah, like, there was the whole thing with the main character kid guy and his, like, girlfriend or whatever girl. There was that whole thing, and it was like, why do you even have this? Like, it's not funny, and it's just stupid. Like, it opened great. The movie opened great with the guy from Jaws that played the, you know, marine biologist from Jaws. Like, he's, like, on a boat and fishing and stuff. And
drinking.
Like, yeah, and drinking, and then he gets eaten by the piranhas, and, like, that is a great opening. And then after that, it goes downhill, and then when Christopher Lloyd comes in finally later on, you're like, yeah, and then he leaves, and that's that.
See, the thing is, I knew he was going to be in a cameo. They wouldn't be able to make a film with, if it was just him, he would have been the star.
That's what I thought, because, like, he's such a big, you know, what do you call it? Like, headline thing, you know, billing. But I guess they did that on purpose to trick people into watching it.
Well,
Hopefully the second one's better. It looks like the trailer made it look like it had more Christopher Lloyd. But then again, the trailer for this movie was also fake for the most part.
Yeah, the thing is, in this film, what I saw was, I saw the potential of it being this cheesy little B film, but so enjoyable because it's so putrid and so bad. And I expected it to be not a good B film, but it's so bad, it's good B film. Like, I think that that was its attempt, but it failed miserably at trying to make it. Because it couldn't make it, because those films are something such as the unreleased Fantastic Four film from 1994, or possibly Howard the Duck.
You keep mentioning that, and I still have yet to see it.
Or even Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Oh, that, to me, that's just too bad to watch. It's not even worth watching.
But the thing is, I have a lot to say on that. We'll have to talk about that off screen or something like
off
that.
Mic.
But yeah, it's not that sort of enjoyable. There's no way that you can really get a cult follow. You can get a cult following for this, but they'll think it's good because it's a good cheesy B film. There's nothing here that you really haven't seen. You won't get from any other film other than tits everywhere and a possible 3D.
Yeah, it's just like, instead of like being a parody or no, like a self-aware cheesy B film, it just was a cheesy B film. It like was bad, genuinely bad, and not like ironic or anything like that. Like some parts were, like certain actors understood. Like Jerry, was it O'Connell? I keep forgetting.
Yeah, Jerry O'Connell,
Christopher Lloyd, and then the black guy from Dawn of the Dead,
the remake.
Yeah, like they got it. Like they understood what kind of movie they were in, but like a lot of the people didn't, and that's what really ruined the movie. Like honestly, it's really the writing and acting that really killed this movie for me. Like you could have had like. It's barely even the writing. It's really just, like, the dialogue. If you just put in, like, funnier dialogue and better performances, then this would be, like, that cheesy, bad movie that you'd want to see.
I have to say it's more the delivery.
Well, that's the acting.
I could live... Yeah, I know. It's just... I can live with the dialogue. It's just the delivery.
Yeah.
It feels so labored, and it feels so uncompelling. It feels almost forced from the actors, and... It's like, yeah, I know I'm making a cheesy B film, but I'll just keep doing it. And is it possible to overact when you're a bad actor? You're overacting a bad level.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel they were doing. With the exceptions of, like you said, the black guy who was in Dawn of the Dead, Jerry O'Connell, and...
Christopher Lloyd. Christopher Lloyd, to me, is my favorite part of that movie. The best.
I don't know. Jerry O'Connell is just, I didn't expect him to be such a dick, let alone the way he goes. Because, I mean, you have to realize.
I see what you did there. I'll just go ahead and say it. There's no point, like, in hiding it. He gets his penis bitten off and spit at you in the, like, at the screen, you know, because it's 3D. So, yeah. Piranha spits his penis at you.
And
so, yeah. But I actually really liked his performance for the most part.
He was on screen too long.
That's, yeah. Like, I don't know, it's like he was the only thing, like, that was interesting in the movie, but then they overplayed it and you got tired of it.
And that's just one thing that was too much for me. It's less Jerry O'Connell, I want to see more drama, but there was nothing there. And then the whole fact that the main character feels so guilty because... this bitch girl comes in with him.
No.
And it's like, no, it's not your fucking fault. She chose to come in spite of you. Let her fucking die.
Yeah, but that's how, like, the guy always is, like, that stupid kid character where he always feels sorry for himself and everything. And it's like, you know, quit being a sorry idiot. Like, and start doing it. Taking charge.
I don't think it works
like,
that way.
Here's my thing. I think, really, when you think about, like, a lot of the good, like, parody cheesy movies, like Black Dynamite, for instance, or something, like, parody movies and, like, Escape from New York, what we were just talking about, they work when the main character is, like, thinks he's in charge and is serious. Like, that's when it's funny. When he's, like, you know, sorry for himself and just being a sap and total, you know, like, fruitcake. I don't know, it's just not as funny. It doesn't work in, like, a parody kind of thing.
Okay, and I agree with you completely because I can't name very many horror films, especially kind of these B-style films where the protagonist is actually male and a wimp or, you know, just a little whiny bitch.
Yeah.
I've watched only one that I can clearly name that's that way, and it's Nightmare on Elm Street 2, but I can't really name any other horror film where the protagonist is either male...
Mm-hmm.
Or he's a bitch. And it's mainly because we're used to watching The Virginal Girl and all of that. But this film, I expected it to be different. And I understand that he was whiny because you want to make him less feminine so he has that arc that makes him more powerful. But he doesn't have it.
Yeah.
He remains this little shriveled up kid who's scared and doesn't take charge.
And even when he does take charge, I don't know, you just don't buy it. You don't really care. Like, no. The one point where he's like, you know, I gotta go save her, you're like, whatever.
I hope you die.
Yeah, pretty much. You just go, you know. You're not invested in him at all, and you don't care. And, like, parodies really, it helps when you, like, are interested in the character. And when you're not interested, it's just not funny what happens to them.
Exactly, and that's where I had the biggest issue with this character specifically. He didn't have anything that made him really stand out from anyone else. Mm-hmm. He just still seemed like a little punk who, in the end, was still going to be his mama's little boy. And, I mean, this movie ended on the right spot. I knew it had to end that way.
The ending, I will say, is the one, like, one of the few redeeming things about this movie. Like, the ending was wonderful. It was one of the best endings I've ever seen, like, in any movie. It was pretty great. It was hilarious.
But the thing is, I've seen it before.
Well, I don't know. To me, it still worked.
And
I didn't really expect it from this kind of movie because it was, I don't know. I guess, like, one of the things is it being really bad, I didn't expect a good ending.
It's like, I've seen this before, and it's always the last minute scare. You always want that. They do it in so many other movies, and I don't want to spoil any of them because I don't know which ones we will review, which ones we won't. But hell, I can give this one out because I know we'll never review this. In Hatchet, for example, you think that the last two survivors are safe after they knock out the big guy. Well, while they're on the boat, the girl falls off a little boat in the lagoon, and the arm from the last survivor guy starts to help her out. You realize the big guy was actually still alive, tore off his arm, and uses him that way. And it might not be to the same level as this one, but I felt a last minute scare was going to happen regardless of what it is. And that's what you always expect.
Yeah, but the thing with Piranha 3D, like, to sort of speak in a vague way, is it's not just like a last scare kind of way. The way they set it up is like a joke. And you have your setup, you're like, oh, this is this way. And then you're like, oh, well, what if this were to happen? That would be bad. And then it happens, and I don't know, in like an ironic way. And it's like set up like a joke with a punchline, and it ends with that punchline, and it's just, for that reason, it's great.
So
people who haven't seen this movie have no idea what I'm talking about. But
no, but they can expect the last minute scare is the thing.
Yeah.
And it's nowhere near as elaborate as like how I was explaining with Hatchet, which, by the way, for those of you who haven't heard any of my recommendations, I completely tell you guys to steer away from that unless you're for those kinds of it's so bad it's good films.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, if you find yourself agreeing with Edgar more than me, then you'll like it. If you like me more, then no.
Well, I really don't have anything else to say on this film. You give your score first.
Oh, yes. Scores. I forgot. I'm going to have to say skip it. It really wasn't worth it. I was supremely disappointed. There's really nothing in it to see except for, like, you know, the few performances, but they're so short that it's not worth it. Just watch Back to the Future if you want to see more Christopher Lloyd. Or Star Trek. But it's not that kind of performance.
And for me, I mean, I've ripped into this film, and I can honestly tell you I'm not going to return to this, but I know that there's an audience out there who will approve of it. And for those of you who actually find that what we're saying might appeal to you in any shape, way, or form, I say matinee for you. But for everyone else, pick up a copy, bury it into the ground, and make sure it does never come back.
Just don't pick up a copy. So this one, Ben will be happy for us because he totally actually agreed to the review for once, unlike with like Gladiator and Beautiful Mind. Oh, no,
it's
because
he has a bad taste in films, and I hope he listens to that part.
Wow. Now he'll never listen to us.
He won't listen to us anyway. And if he does, I hope he makes a comment. Anyway, on to our next flick.
So next, a more classic film. A film which I'm not going to get to what I think of it yet. Yeah, I will. I like it more than Piranha 3D. So, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I don't have a synopsis for that one either because it's really quite simple.
Like, I'll give this
one. The same. Let me just say, you know, a group of young adults, teens, you know, Scooby-Doo age kids, as I'll say. You know how they, those darn kids and that puppy or whatever. But not the Scooby-Doo kids show. That's different. I mean, actual Scooby-Doo. That age, you know, teenagers, yeah. But older, I guess, you know, 20s. They go on vacation to a really nasty house, and then nasty people kill most of them. And yeah, it's okay. Horror, and he's got a chainsaw, and it's a massacre.
Okay,
let is me it in Texas? It... I think
probably.
So.
Probably. Let me give it more of a plot. Four kids are going, two siblings, two not. They're going to go and see their grandfather's grave and see where he's buried and all that stuff, basically following the roots.
Oh, is that what they were doing? What the hell? They never see the grave ever. They just forgot about that then. I don't remember any grave in that movie.
There was a graveyard scene.
Nope. Was it in the very beginning?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They must have, forgot.
These four kids are going off. Two of them, whom are siblings, are trying to go search the lineage of what they're doing. In which case, they end up picking up a hitchhiker who drives them off into a different area completely. In which they're impeded by a family. Not one, but a family of maniacal people. And one very specifically, Leatherface. Which everyone knows. And from there on out, we can just start the review.
Okay, so I want to go first because this is your territory, so you're gonna have you have more experience in this field. For me, I was actually I don't like the movie and I like the movie. I didn't like it at first, but once it picks up, it really gets moving, and the movie was longer than I thought it would be, and usually with a slasher flick, you always think one little, two little, three little Indians kind of deal, where one gets knocked off. Oh shit, what are we gonna do? Blah blah blah. Another one gets knocked off. Oh shit, what are we gonna do? Blah blah. In Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it's really, I'll say, lopsided in its one little Indians kind of deal. I mean, a lot of people get killed very quickly, and a larger part of the movie is actually built setting this whole thing up. And at first I disagreed with the pacing. But I felt like it actually really pays off. At first, you'll feel like it's kind of slow. And, besides, the one hitchhiker scene where, there's, the cutting and you're like, ugh, you know.
Can I get your knife?
Oh, that was really... That was too good. Anyway, that was creepy. Anyway, besides that, it's pretty slow. And it's, a lot of weird complaining by the guy in the wheelchair who I actually liked. Yeah, I liked and didn't like him at the same time. He was so annoying, but it kind of worked because that was the character. And it was one of the first movies to see a guy in a wheelchair, in a horror movie. Right off the bat, you see that guy in the wheelchair, you're like, he ain't gonna make it. He's in a wheelchair. And I'm gonna go ahead and spoil it technically.
You can spoil
it's not really a spoiler because really, a vast majority of the movie isn't the one little, two little, three little Indians kind of thing. Pretty much right off the bat, everyone dies but this one woman. And you're like, okay, that was quick. And basically, at that point, you're kind of three quarters in the way, sort of, ish. Or maybe two thirds, I would say, into the movie. And everyone's dead but her. And you're like, that was fast. Everyone gets killed so quickly. The first guy goes to the Leatherface's house. Bam. Dead.
With a hammer.
Yeah, with a sledgehammer. And then the next girl, she gets hung on the thing, and then bam, and then it's just her and Franklin, and then bam, and you're like, what the hell? This is happening so fast. And compared to nowadays horror flicks and stuff, it really isn't that gruesome, but the way they do it really holds up because of the pacing and the way they set it up. You're like, whoa, shit, the way it's done is just, I'm not a horror fan, but this is well done. And like I said, the vast majority of the movie is her actually just overcoming these struggles. It's like a horror thriller. It's not just people getting picked off at it. It's most of the movie is her running and screaming and being captured and escaping. And the ending actually made me sort of applause, inside. I wasn't actually applauding, but the whole thing where she's running and stuff, the way it ends and it all comes sort of together and shit goes down, I actually thoroughly enjoyed it, and I did not expect to. at all. I totally thought, like, the way, especially the way this movie began, like, I barely even paid attention in the beginning, but for some reason it had me later on, and like, surprisingly enough, I actually totally like this movie. So, yeah, what do you have to say, Edgar?
I'm so glad to hear that you didn't realize. Because I knew that if there was any horror film to get you into this, it would either be this one or Halloween. And I have to say, there's a lot of issues with this film, especially because of how low the budget is and how gritty it feels. You can almost see how harsh this is. And because there's nothing – it's not high def. It's not – let's say,
yeah, the colors
on
are,
Elm Street.
Yeah, the colors are really, like, really colorful, like a little overly colorful.
Overexposed?
Yeah.
But it works.
Yeah, it just, the movie caught me off guard. Because the way it was set up, like, I talk about pacing and how I've been hating a lot of pacing movies. This is one where I actually like the pacing, even though at first, like, the movie tricked me. It made me think there was less of a movie than it was. And then, like, pow, you get hit with, like, the good stuff. And, like, maybe if I were to watch it a second time, I wouldn't like it as much. But, yeah, it really, I don't know, surprised me. And that's good.
And I'm going to say this, which is controversial. I've seen the movie before, and, like,
that's
I disliked it the first time.
Oh, okay.
I disliked it, and I didn't see why it was the appeal. But I saw the remake, and I gave this one another try. Which is this time, and I enjoyed it considerably more. And it's the fact that the way it's blended, and the way that it's combined. I mean, I give it a lot of the gimme moments, I guess you could put it, where you have to do so. Either you go with it, or you completely.
Yeah, like why don't they goddamn call the cops after like the first two are gone? But whatever, you know, no cell phones, I guess.
Well, it was 1973.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have to give it these moments. But if you do and you are willing to see it through, it works.
Mm-hmm.
It just works. And don't get me wrong. This film has a lot of bad acting. And a lot of these little situation problems where it's just – there's no one from this movie that goes to be famous or anything.
Yeah, I noticed when I was looking up the trivia, like IMDb – almost every single actor didn't even have a picture in their IMDb profile. Like, that's how unknown they are.
It's not like in Nightmare on Elm Street that has Johnny Depp, or Friday the 13th that has Kevin Bacon, or Halloween that has Jamie Lee Curtis.
Friday the 13th has Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
No wonder he's 6 degrees from, like, everything.
Well, that aside, they all have an actor that basically stood out and has become someone now.
Mm-hmm.
And still holds their own now. Jamie Lee Curtis is kind of off the scale now. Yeah. But I'm.
Oh, no, Leatherface. He's played by, I'm going to say, John Candy, right?
Actually, Gunnar Hansen, who plays it in this one, hated this film. I'm sure you read this in the media. I think it was him who wanted to kill Toby Hooper.
Actually, I didn't get through the trivia for this one.
All right.
We started recording too early for this time.
Nonetheless, though, the film does have its pacing problems, especially for audiences nowadays, but the film is actually really short and it's standing, and I enjoyed this one, maybe not as much as I did the remake, because the remake fixes these issues by having more proper lighting, but then again, it also has a higher budget.
Mm-hmm.
It also has a different storyline. The twists are considerably different, but the main focus in this film is the satire against one meat processing, then meat processing, and the nuclear family, which is something that you might have not picked up in the fact that it's condemning certain aspects of family life and how.
Oh no, I picked that up. And yeah, grandpa and all that was weird.
But is the thing?
Never mind. Actually, I don't want to talk about it because that's one of my favorite scenes. The whole hammer thing with Grandpa. I don't know why I like that. I really shouldn't have liked that. It was just so great. I can't explain why I enjoy it.
It's dark humor in it.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, like, it's not like it's sort of like a combination of like laughing at it and yet emoting and empathizing and like sympathizing with the fear for the main character and yet like. in like a sick way. I sort of enjoy it and laugh at it, at the like ridiculousness of it. It's just, I don't know. It's, I didn't expect it. There's some weird thing, some spell, a curse that was put on me, and I actually like this movie.
Okay, and something I want to get into right before we go any further. This movie is not based on a true story as it claims. It's inspired, which is its little trick. Because people often think if it's based on a true story, most of these events are true. Well, what I mean by inspired is little nit things are. For example, there was a guy out there who skinned women and made belts out of them, and his name was Ed Gein. He's dead now, obviously.
No, he's still alive, still skinning.
Well, he could be. He could be imprisoned. But he had a whole mother complex, which is the basis on Norman Bates, and so on and so forth. But without getting too much into it, he did skin people. He didn't eat anyone, as the cannibalistic feature shows in this film. Mm-hmm. Or at least not that I recall. But he did have like a belt full of nipples, and he had a lamp made out of human skin and all that.
And a couch made out of bones.
Yeah.
I was like, that is probably the most uncomfortable couch ever. That was my thing. Like, you know, you can, you know, at least make it comfortable. Put some human asses for the pillows.
Well, without getting too far into this subject, that's just kind of a background. If you want to search into it, all any of you listeners, feel free. I did this back years ago when I was just interested in what the hell causes these people to go berserk and crazy and do things that, you know, normal or more rational people wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say, just back to the form of this film, along with the pacing, and it's the lighting, the contrast, as you said, the colors work well for it. But the way that the costumes are and the way that the manor looks.
Yeah, Grandpa looks so cheesy. Like, the thing is, like, this movie's budget does hurt, like, hurt a little bit. But if you can get past the budget, there's surprisingly, like, a good movie there. It's not necessarily, like, the shots are composed well. It's just the pacing, overall editing. And it's really more the writing of the movie that really gets it going. Writing and score.
But the score is pretty much just him sawing a tambourine, stuff like that. It really doesn't use very many instruments.
No, I just mean, you know, the use of the score. Not necessarily the score itself. It's just, like, the discrepancy between the ending and the beginning use of score, you know. Like, the using of music to elevate the action.
And I, as we said, we can't really get into the plot because it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
But it works for what it is. And they would naturally replicate this in future series. I mean, everyone claims Halloween to be the very first slasher film, which it technically is because it does fit the criteria. But this one kind of cemented more of what is required, as in an iconic killer, an iconic weapon, a high body count.
Yeah.
But
so, yeah, I, this,
you first.
Spring, this like Spring Break episode, really, it was a complete flip of what I expected. I thought I would love Piranha 3D and hate Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and it complete opposite. So, yeah.
I knew I was going to love Texas Chainsaw Massacre because I just recently watched the remake, and it was the one that I initially assumed we were going to do. And I knew one of these two you weren't going to like. You were either going to hate the slasher one, or you were going to hate the, I guess,
Toronto
fish
one.
Out of water, yeah. Story.
Nice. This is just a pun-riffed day.
Oh, wait until we get to the Freddy one.
Do you just want to get into scores now? Is there?
Yeah, I have nothing else to really say.
So, what would I give it? I'd honestly give it the theater. I would give Texas Chainsaw Massacre the theater. I can't believe I'm saying this. Actually, I'll give it the matinee. I changed my mind. It's still just a horror movie. Like, I think it needs a bit more to really get the theater. But if you're a fan of horror, then definitely theater. But for most people, matinee, definitely. It's actually, you know, like a fun movie.
And as for me, I'd have to say it really depends on who you are. I mean, this can technically be seen as homework As in, if you want to become a fan of horror film, this is a movie that you must see.
Mm-hmm.
This one, the original Nightmare on Elm Street, the original Halloween, and the original Friday the 13th. And while they can be enjoyable to some, they all have their flaws, and it really changes the mood to them. Though, nonetheless, this one stands out most out of all of them because he's iconic, but for the wrong reasons. You assume when you hear Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you think Leatherface. But he's technically not the central character, and because of that, this film is considered misleading.
Yeah, like, that's my thing with this movie, is the whole slasher genre, which this movie helped define, like, you know, there's this, you know, cultural paradigm, like, expectations of what we think of a slasher film is, and yet, even though this movie helped define it, this movie actually, like, is different from that and kind of plays with your idea of a slasher film. Or at least it did for me. Like, you know, I went in expecting something and got something different. And maybe that's one reason I felt like the movie was better than I thought it was going to be. And someone who isn't expecting what I expected might find it a little bit disappointing. But to me, like, it's so simple and visceral that it actually works.
But see, this is where I also kind of get in a turnbine, I guess I would put it. Because it's, I want to recommend this as highly as possible, but there's nothing here that if you've been jaded by today's horror, remakes of other films, it's nothing that you haven't seen or you haven't really digested before.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like it does a damn good job of it. You know, it does it well. Does it how it should be done.
So, as an overall score, I want to give it a theater, but it's just, it lacks that small amount in order for me to really recommend it to the broadest audience out there. So I'll give it a matinee. But if you do want to become a more or less horror scholar, do go out, do seek this, do watch this. Skip the rest of the sequels and just watch the remake. Not Texas Chainsaw Massacre at the beginning, but Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And you'll see the contrast of how the audience kind of flops, because that movie does what this one did and keeps the gore level low, the blood level low, but the suspense level high. And I can just simply give it a theater to those who are really into horror. But for those of you who are just kind of an occasional watcher or a casual viewer of any films, just a matinee.
Yeah. So is that it? You got anything else?
As a side note, not to the movie, though. And I just want to say congrats, Adam. We've actually made it.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the live episode and the likes now. Okay, so that's it for the review. So we are at, what, like 50, who knows what. And by the time you listen to this, it'll be different. Yeah, 50 plus likes. And a long time back, you know, I made that promise that, because I never thought we'd even actually get this many likes, that we'd do a live episode. So it's all set up. So what we're going to do is the live episode will be viewer's choice. So go ahead right now. Just go ahead on our Facebook. You can email me at, you know, filmyfilm@mail.com or tweet me at filmyfilm. Your movie suggestion, whatever it is, anything. You know, try not to do one we've done already. That'd be kind of pointless. But any, you know, obscure as it is, as long as we can get to it, you know, at like a Blockbuster or Netflix or streaming online or something, you know, we will, you know, as long as it's reasonably able to achieve,
reasonably
we will do
accessible.
That. Yeah. So go ahead and recommend it. And what we're going to do is like get a pool of like the most common ones and have you vote off of that. So more updates as we go, but just go right now, send us your requests. Put them on Facebook, put it on our wall, or message us, or email us.
This will probably be something over the course of the next month or two, so don't assume that the episode will be coming soon. But when it starts to arrive, we'll give you a date, a time, and when we'll be doing all of this.
You can also tweet Edgar at...
Edgar Talkaram.
There you go. So, yeah.
And to be honest, the easiest way to contact us is by writing it on our Facebook wall, or by directly tweeting us.
Mm-hmm. Or emailing me at filmyfilm@mail.com. Which is this contact info on the website itself, so you can do that. Or you can even just comment on any of our podcasts or something.
Or even actually post a review for us on iTunes and just leave it there.
Yeah. Nice.
Nonetheless, though, we love the support that you guys give us, and we do want to make this live episode. We just want you guys to choose what film we should review. It could be the best film that you guys think exists, or it could be the worst film. And as long as it's accessible to us, and as long as you all demand it, we'll get on it.
Yeah, and we'll also, so we are going to test the live episode before, and I will announce that when we feel like we're ready. And you can join in on our test just to see how, you know, make sure that's working, and help give us feedback and make sure we're streaming correctly and all that. So, that it? You got anything else?
No, I don't have anything else.
Alrighty, thanks for listening.
Well, actually,
oh, what?
Do you want to announce the film that we're going to be reviewing next week?
What are we doing next week?
Deer Hunter.
Oh, yeah. I forgot because I was thinking. Yeah, so next week we're doing Deer Hunter, and the week after that we're doing Titanic. James Cameron's Titanic, because the 3D one's coming out, so it would be nice. Sync up. So, yeah. Now you know 2 weeks in advance. Isn't that handy?
Yeah, this time we don't have to, you know, go shooting in the dark and hope that you guys have watched it already.
So, alrighty. Thanks for listening to the Film Pod.
Do.
I recorded that. Yeah! Okay, I'm gonna stop recording. Don't say anything funny anymore.